Good afternoon. The Education Quality Subcommittee will now come to order. For the record, please remember to turn your microphones off for roll call. Misty, please call the roll.
Chair Trabalsi?
Here.
Vice Chair Temple?
Here.
Ranking Member Benjamin?
Present.
Representative Alvarez?
Here.
Representative Beltran?
Here.
Representative Kennedy?
Here.
Representative Casello? Representative Chamberlain?
Here.
Representative Daniels?
Here.
Representative Franklin is excused. Representative Gant?
Here.
Representative Garcia? Representative Gilombardo?
Here.
Representative Gonzalez-Pittman?
Present.
Representative Plasencia?
Here.
Representative Redondo?
Here.
Representative Tomko? Representative Yeager?
Here.
Representative Robinson, ex officio?
Here.
Thank you, Misty. Good afternoon again, and welcome to the Education Quality Subcommittee. Happy New Year. It's nice to see everyone again. As always, please silence your cell phones, and if you would like to speak, please make sure to complete an appearance card and hand it to a member of the sergeant's office as we present our bills. We have a new member to our committee, Representative Redondo. Welcome. We'd love for you to take a moment or two and introduce yourself and tell us why you're excited about being on Education Quality Subcommittee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, my fellow members. I'm very excited to be here. Easy enough for me. My mom was a public school teacher in special education for over 40 years back home in Miami-Dade County. So this is a topic that's near and dear to my heart and certainly something I look forward to learning a lot more on and doing great work with the rest of the committee. So thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Welcome again. And we're going to have a great committee session. We're excited to hear some bills today. I know everybody's been anxiously awaiting that. And we do have two bills on our agenda. We'll start off with our Vice Chair, Representative Temple, and you are recognized to explain House Bill 1361.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair, Ranking Member, and Committee. It's an honor to be here this afternoon to talk to you about HB 1361. It extends and reinforces the work that we did last year in supporting Florida students. In last year's legislation, we expanded the eligibility for New World's scholarship accounts to students who have deficiencies in mathematics, as well as expanded the New World's reading initiative to include students in pre-kindergarten. So what this bill does, it builds on those policies. It expands the eligibility of New World's Order Scholarship Program to students enrolled into the voluntary pre-K program who exhibit a substantial deficit or deficiency in early literacy or mathematics, as identified through the progress monitoring assessments that they take. It expands the credentials for eligible part-time tutors. It renames the New World's Reading Initiative to the New World's Learning Initiative, going from focusing solely on reading to reading and math. It also renames the micro-credential to the New World's Micro-credential Program. It designates the University of Florida, the Lassiter Center for Learning, as initiatives administrator. And it also creates the New World's Tutoring Program with New World's Learning Initiative to support school districts and schools in bolstering student achievement in reading and mathematics. It requires the program administrator to establish agreements with every school district to provide additional literacy of mathematics and support to pre-kindergarten to grade 12 students enrolled in public school who have a substantial deficiency in reading or mathematics. And that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Members, are there any questions on the bill? Yes, Representative Robinson.
Thank you, Chair. And simple questions. You know, education is my thing. And when you start speaking math, that's definitely my thing because I was a math teacher. And I just wanted to ask a couple of questions about the bill expands the New World program to include the mathematics, which I want to say thank you. Do you know what changes will be made to the materials to specifically address the math skills deficiency, or that's going to be something a little further down?
That would be dealt with through the Lassiter UF. Excuse me.
You're recognized.
Okay. That would be dealt with the through the Lassiter institution, like they did with reading. They provided the science of reading and helped the districts that way. They'll do the same thing with math and provide the opportunities and training and professional development or training to help those instructors to fill in those gaps.
Thank you.
Representative Gant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Hi, Representative Temple. Thank you for having our robust conversation earlier. So I just want to follow up on the topic that we were discussing in regards to the eligible materials and the list that will be created. So my concern would be, as I stated to you before, if the list is an exhaustive list and an additional item, whether it's actual materials or curriculum is needed, what would be the mechanism for the purchase of those items to be reimbursed? Or would the programs or the school districts have to eat that as a cost, so to speak, in order to make sure the students have whatever materials they need to remediate?
You're recognized.
All right, so it's not the school districts that are doing it. These are the parents. They're the ones that get the scholarship. And so what this policy does, it allows the parents not to come out of pocket, so they would be able to order from the bank of materials. And the answer that I got for the question is that much like they add tutors throughout the year and their, you know, new people apply to be tutors, the same process would apply, that they would be able to say, hey, I need this resource, and send that up, and they would review that resource just like they would be able to review adding additional tutors to different areas as they come in. And so there would be a process in place to review that. If it were denied, I think that was one of your questions, I don't know that they would be in reimbursed at that point. They would be notified that particular thing, whatever it would be, that may not be available. And I would imagine they would give some sort of explanation.
You're recognized for a follow-up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I know we also discussed that the provider or the service provider for the program, the tutoring programs, it'll be a process through DOE. Do we know how many providers DOE would be able to have on a list for the program to use? I know you said Step Up right now is the provider now. Would there be multiple providers that can be part of will it be multiple vendors possible since we are adding math to the curriculum and it's not just reading?
So with the tutoring,
you're recognized.
Thank you. With the tutoring, that comes through the Lassiter institution. And so they would make those partnerships with the school districts, and they would make so it would be up to the individual school districts, the other companies to apply to be a part of. And I'm sure they would have a criteria for them to be able to meet. Once they meet that criteria, they would be able to have it. Like a lot of things that we talk about, the more rural areas can be a little bit more difficult to find. And so that's where I think the partnership with the local school district should be able to help with that. That's what I would imagine.
Any further questions? Any further? Yes, Representative Benjamin, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Rep, for bringing the bill. Have you had an opportunity to see the Senate similar bill? Because I can't say it's the companion, because there's a lot of things that they're covering that doesn't seem like we're covering.
You're recognized.
I have not seen the Senate version. There are a lot of things that may differ, and I imagine, like other bills, throughout the process, they will find a way of meshing and coming together, but I have not seen what they've put together.
Okay.
Do you have a follow-up, Representative? Any further questions, members? Okay, we do have some appearance cards. Nathan Hoffman from Florida Foundation for Florida's Future waves in support. Sarah Catherine Massey, Florida Chamber of Commerce, waves in support. Nancy Lothar, Florida PTA, waves in support. Alexis LaRoe from Step Up for Students, waves in support. Members, we're now in debate if anyone wishes to debate the bill. No one in debate? Well, I would like to...
I would.
Absolutely.
And I really have only one thing to say is that I hope that you do have an opportunity to take a look at the Senate version, because the Senate bill is very robust with regards to some of the things that they're handling in terms of this deregulation. And I would love to see us not have to wait till we get on the floor and do the, but to have an early meshing of the bills so that we can really talk about, you know, parity and between public schools and private schools and how we're improving student success and teacher retention and those things. All right, so, but thank you for kicking it off.
Representative Benjamin, I just would like to say this is not a deregulation bill. And I would also like to add, thank you so much for bringing this bill forward. As we've put progress monitoring into place and we've made a commitment to offer services to our children who are lagging behind, this is just one step closer to the finish line that we'll be taking to get over the threshold. So thank you so much. And having, you're welcome to close on the bill.
Well, as a math teacher as well, it's important to see that, you know, both parts are being dealt with because it's critical. And also as a elementary principal, it is very important to put resources at the younger grades, particularly pre-K, kindergarten, first, even second grade, to help those students be successful early on. That's where the foundation's laid. So I'm excited. That's why I was excited about bringing this bill forward, because it helps put emphasis on that area. And so with that, I'll close.
Thank you. Having closed on the bill, Misty, please call the roll.
Representatives Alvarez?
Yes.
Beltran?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Costello?
Yes.
Chamberlain?
Yes.
Daniels?
Yes.
Franklin? Excused. Gant?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Gilombardo?
Yes.
Gonzalez-Pittman?
Yes.
Plasencia?
Yes.
Redondo?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Tomko? Yeager?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Chair Tribolsi?
Yes. Members, by your vote, we can say that this was passed favorably, and congratulations. I'm going to now turn over the gavel to you. I'll walk by and hand it to you as I present a bill to the committee.
Chair Tribolsi, you are now recognized to explain PCB 24-01.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It is a pleasure to be able to present this bill to you today. And Representative Benjamin, this is the deregulation bill, and it is very different from the Senate version as we begin this process of blending these bills together. So I have looked over the Senate bills, and this is where we come to as a starting point. Last year, the Florida legislature passed House Bill 1, which included provisions regarding the deregulation of public schools. In an effort to provide more flexibility and efficiency and reduce unnecessary regulation, the bill required the State Board of Education to develop and recommend to the governor and legislature for adoption during the 2024 legislative session repeals and revisions to the Florida Early Learning through 20 Education Code. This bill provides flexibility for district school boards to determine the adequate number of instructional materials in each classroom. It also provides superintendents with flexibility on instructional material reporting timeframes. The bill authorizes principals to determine collection of funds for lost or damaged instructional materials. In addition, the bill authorizes school districts to assess a processing fee for each objection to a material under certain circumstances. It reduces unnecessary testing by reducing the administration of VPK progress monitoring assessments to 2 times per year rather than 3 times per year, only during summer VPK. It removes the requirement for duplicative assessments of the students in DJJ programs, requires that any change made by the State Board of Education to components in the school grades model or the school grade scale must go into effect in the following school year at the earliest to provide school districts ample time to prepare for change. It removes the requirement for a school district to offer a virtual instruction, removes the requirement that a virtual provider be non-sectarian, authorizes a school district virtual program to provide the equipment and access necessary for participation to any full-time student enrolled in the program, regardless of income status. It revises the requirements that each Early Learning Coalition submit a school readiness plan to the Department of Education and DOE review each plan every 3 years rather than 2 to match with federal guidelines. This removes the requirement for the State Board of Education to establish the tuition of out-of-state fees for developmental education and for credit instruction that may be counted towards certain post-secondary degrees. It repeals the competency-based pilot program as 2022-23 was the last year of the pilot and it was not extended in statute. It repeals single-gender programs authorized in law. This is a duplicative of federal law. Repeals the requirement that all automotive service technology education programs must be accredited. Removes language regarding special baccalaureate approval process for St. Petersburg College. And finally, the bill repeals reporting relating to fine arts, charter technical, career centers, middle grade career courses, academically high-performing school districts, committee of practitioners under No Child Left Behind Act, and implementation, school improvement, and accountability. And that is the bill.
Members, are there any questions? Rep. Casella.
Thank you, Vice Chair. Chair, it's the bill, I've been talking to stakeholders. There's a companion bill in the Senate that's going through, which they like a lot better than this. Would you be amenable to, like, blending the two together when it comes to that point?
Chair?
Thank you. Absolutely. I haven't had anyone come and talk to me about this bill to add any further deregulation onto it. I am very aware of the Senate bill, and I open all conversations to help blend and make the best bill possible.
Great. Thank you.
Any additional questions? Seeing no questions, members, we're now in debate. Is there anyone wishing to debate the bill? Oh, I apologize. I jumped ahead. I should do appearance cards first. Let me do that, and then we'll come right back to it. You'll be first. We've got Ethan Merchant from PSO Florida.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm here representing PSO Florida, and we're a group of parent advocates that believe in all forms of school choice. We're very thankful for HB1 that was passed during the 2023 legislative session and all of the expansions of options that it gave parents. We know that the legislature is looking at additional revisions to school choice this session, and we hope to be a resource so that the parents can have a voice whenever the education policy is crafted. Thank you.
Thank you. Up next, Nancy Lawther from Florida PTA.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am speaking for information today. And first of all, to thank the committee chair and especially the staff. This is 53 pages on day 2 of session with a 19-page staff analysis. This is a lot of work. We spoke on the Senate companion bill, 7004. We are in support of that particular bill. And I'd like to go into some of the differences between the two bills. with the understanding we are at the PCB status. This is committee number one, and there will be many changes down the road. We would like to note some of the things that are in this bill that are not in the Senate bill. First of all, the potential assessment of the $100 fee to cover school district costs in the case of those who may not have a child at a particular school, but make more than five objections to a book. For school districts, the costs are not insignificant, and this is much appreciated. On lines 261 to 262, there is new language inserted that would allow virtual education providers to be sectarian. We are concerned about this. We are a little hesitant to start down this particular slippery slope of merging sectarian interests and public education. So we hope that you will take a look at that in the future. There is lots in the Senate bill that is not yet in this particular bill. And we were particularly enthusiastic about the Senate's willingness to take a look at our current accountability system, which is 25 years old. 1999 was the initiation of the A-plus system. It's undergone a lot of iterations, but it is really high time, in our view, to take a look at the system, to do more than simply repeat what we've done in the past. And therefore, we appreciate the Senate's interest at looking at the importance of assessment as a must-pass option for third-grade promotion and for high school graduation. This is not the first time that there have been tweaks suggested. I think it was way back in 2016 when former President Gates of the Senate proposed a bill that passed every committee unanimously, passed the Senate unanimously, died in the House, but it would have enabled schools, depending on their district, to offer the SAT or the ACT in lieu of the state standardized exams. And many states do indeed offer that as an option, not only at the high school level, but for some, they offer ACT Aspire or other nationally standardized exams at the elementary and middle school level. We were also very interested in the Senate's willingness to look at the school transformation process, to lengthen that, and to provide an option for community schools. There are, in fact, I believe, in Orange County, two community schools that are functioning quite well. And we would be interested in seeing that option as well in this particular bill. But overall, we do hope that as the bill moves forward, that your colleagues in other committees will take this task very seriously. HB1 and that particular provision gives us tremendous opportunity to dig into data, to look at what other states are doing successfully. We have been doing very well, but we're not perfect. And there is room for improvement. And so we look forward to working with you in the process. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next up, Ryan Kennedy from Florida Citizens Alliance.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. My name is Ryan Kennedy with the Florida Citizens Alliance, a group of over 260,000 supporters in the state of Florida. Two-thirds of those are families, or parents of families, 17 and under in the home, children still in the home. As this bill is currently written, we're opposed on really one particular issue we have a major opposition to, which is line 645 to 652. This is the one relating to the $100 fee, processing fee for objections. In 2017, we advocated to allow and to include residents into the review and objection process for books. And over the past few sessions, we have made great strides in the state of Florida to remove obscene materials from schools. We feel that if this was to go through as it's currently written, it's going to be a backtrack and backwards movement for both parents and residents in counties, but also to be able to get rid of obscene materials from schools. The other amendment that we would encourage in this bill is actually when it comes to virtual schools, and we do like what has been suggested with the virtual school expansion. But one of the areas that we've noticed when dealing with certain virtual schools is they're having a hard time coming to Florida because of some of the requirements in law pertaining to physical location in the state of Florida. And also, all their teachers have to be Florida certified. A lot of different virtual providers gather their teachers from other states. And so for ease of process, that becomes very difficult when all of our teachers have to be certified in Florida. So those are the two areas that we would encourage amendments on. Thank you.
Thank you. We have Nathan Hoffman from Foundation Florida's Future. Waves in support. Now we're ready for debate. Is there anyone wishing to debate? Rep. Robinson, you had your hand raised first.
Thank you, Chair. I don't know how, Vice Chair. I just really wanted to thank Rep. Travalsi for actually beginning this process. I do have the same sentiments as I do think there are a lot of things in the Senate bill that when you all bring them together will make this a better bill. And so I hope that we'll seriously take a look at that and make sure that happens. But I am happy as a Florida educator that you all have decided to take a look at this and start moving in this direction.
Rep. Gant.
Thank you, Vice Chair. Thank you, Rep. Chair Travolsi, for this bill. I took my time and read through it, and I also spoke with some stakeholders who were very considerate in their feedback about it. And I would love to work with you or see some addition to clarity about ambiguity in statutes and how school districts can have direction as far as how they find out clarity about the ambiguity. But I'm very excited about the direction that this bill is going to take us and our public education system so that we can empower our school districts and our teachers to make sure we have the best and brightest students. So thank you so much.
Anyone else? Rep. Beltran.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you, Rep, for this bill and for our conversation yesterday evening. I do want to echo the sentiments of at least one of the public commenters on this bill in regards to the $100 fee for the book challenges. Obviously, we've had some legislation in previous years. There's a very serious problem, I know, in Hillsborough County and certainly in other areas of the states. I've seen a similar problem. There are large quantities of inappropriate books that are in the school libraries, and those books have been challenged and they've been complained about. There's a mother who, former constituent of mine, from East Hillsborough County, and she's been very active in challenging those books. And suffice it to say, there's more than five books that are in the school libraries or in the schools that should not be there. I think everyone in this room would agree. In fact, she goes to the school board and she reads from the books, and she is told by the school board that the books are inappropriate for reading in a school board meeting full of adults. And so for an even stronger reason, those books would be inappropriate to be in the schools where the kids would be exposed to those books. And we did put some legislation to strengthen that review process. And I'm afraid that this this fee would potentially chill those challenges. I'm not aware that there are any frivolous challenges. There's been no evidence before this committee that there have been people who are abusing the system or making frivolous complaints, or I think you would need to show that those complaints were so voluminous and frivolous that they were burdening the school system responding to them. And in fact, it's the opposite. I think it's too hard to make those claims. There's no attorney fee provision that I could find in this particular section. So people are doing this on their own dime, with their own resources. The idea that they would bring some frivolous claim, or that we need to limit that in some way, I'm very concerned about. And in addition, I mean, my suggestion for a change would be say that if you make five frivolous claims, then you need to pay the $100 filing fee. But if you've made five claims and you've won all of them, then you're going to charge them another $100. That doesn't make sense. I mean, we allow federal prisoners to file claims and claims and claims, and it's only when they're frivolous that they're assessed a filing fee. Certainly, we should allow concerned citizens that same leeway. And I hate to—I know this is a very comprehensive bill. A lot of work has gone into it, and we've discussed some possible solutions here. So I'm sorry to hone in so finally on half a dozen lines in the bill, but I'm very concerned about that. I hope that's improved. I guess there's some other good things in this bill, so I'm going to vote for it. But if it's on the floor like in this condition, based upon my experience dealing with this issue, it's going to be a real tough vote. So I appreciate your consideration. Thank you.
Ranking Member.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Thank you for the bill. Very good start. And I know you're going to do all that you can to fill in the blanks with regards to where we're at in the Senate's version and what we need in the overall legislation on this topic. But just on that subject that Rep. Beltran was on, the initial impetus of this provision of reviewing the books was to get the obscene material out of the schools, right? But if you say that you haven't seen abuses of this provision and books challenged that had nothing to do with obscenities on topics other than obscenities, then I don't think you're really paying attention to the issue. And from my understanding, $100 only applies to non-parents with regards to people who are challenging who aren't actually parents with people in the school districts, with children in the school districts, which I think is absolutely appropriate. But this provision has absolutely been not properly applied in situations. And so I like the provision. I like what we've done so far. I congratulate you, and I look forward to continuing to working with you on this particular bill. Thank you.
With no other debate, Chair DeBose, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you for the debate and the feedback. I appreciate it. I would like to address the issue at hand with the cost of the books. And first of all, there's no school district that actually has to adopt this policy. The school district can choose to or choose not to adopt the policy to impose a fine. And they can also waive the fine, if they so choose to do so. So there's a lot of flexibility for the schools there. I can assure you that I'm paying very close attention to the bill and everything that we're putting in it. And I had a meeting this morning with a group of folks from Escambia County who were actually really suffering with the amount of books that are coming through. And just the logistical nightmare that it is to go through the time, the dollars we need to be educating our kids. I'm happy that we are digging in and trying to remove reading material that is inappropriate for our children. But I think that by opening it up 100% to anyone that has a child at a school is fair, and giving someone outside within your community who wants that privilege, we need to give them that opportunity. But I think they really need to be respectful of the amount of books that they're pouring into schools at one time. And that's really where the intent is. And like I said, it does give the school districts the flexibility to waive the fee, to not even adopt the policy if they don't want to. So that's the intent of that. Maybe we need to make that a little clearer in the language, but that is the intent behind that. We did take a very moderate approach in this first stop for the bill, and we did that intentionally. Because the one thing that, you know, we're excited to have deregulation within, if you've looked at the school code, it's thicker than my Bible. It's big. We could probably do a lot more. But what we need to do is do it thoughtfully and mindfully and not sacrifice deregulation for quality. And so we are taking this very modest, slow approach, addressing each item individually, listening to people like you and your constituents and people that want to have the conversation to make good and meaningful change and deregulation within our school systems so that we don't go back and have unintended consequences with how we've managed this really important piece of our lives, which is our children. And so thank you. Thank you for the continued conversation. I look forward to working it through. And hopefully you will all support this great bill, not only now, but as it goes through the process and on the floor. With that, I close.
Thank you. Having closed on the bill, Misty, please call the roll.
Representatives Alvarez.
Yay.
Beltran.
No.
Benjamin.
Yes.
Hannity.
Yes.
Costello.
Yes.
Chamberlain.
Yes.
Daniels.
Yes.
Franklin. Gant.
Yes.
Garcia.
Yes.
DeLombardo.
Yes.
Gonzalez-Pittman.
Yes.
Plasencia.
Yes.
Redondo.
Yes.
Temple.
Yes.
Tomko.
Yes.
Yeager.
Yes.
Robinson.
Yes.
Chair Trevulsi.
Yes.
17 yeas, one nay, Mr. Vice Chair.
All right, your bill passes. All right, members, as a reminder, our next meeting is scheduled for next Friday, January 19th at 9 a.m. And with no further business before the committee, Representative Daniels moves that we rise. Without objection, the meeting is adjourned.